It is the pastor's heart and rethinking retirement to avoid the sin of the sluggard with Mike Rader. Years and years of putting your feet up, that is the lifestyle of the sluggard. To be a sluggard, well, that is a deadly sin. The concept that we now know as retirement is a 19th century invention and not a Christian concept. The idea that we should stop work at 65 and then enjoy 20 or 30 years of rest, it's just not biblical, says Mike Rader. But how should we think about this stage of life, and what are the ministry opportunities available, and also the sins and temptations that the over 65s are prone to? And how should those of us who are pastors aged under 65 minister best to those over 65? Mike Rader is over 65. He spent years in pastoral ministry, primarily in leadership roles at theological colleges in Pakistan and Sydney and Melbourne. He now spends most of his time training up younger preachers and is partway through a book, or writing a book, called Growing Old. Mike, let's jump right in and a forward question.
You just lost all your overseas, over 60s viewing audience with an opening quote.
What is old and are you old?
All right. Well, isn't that a good question? The three ways you can describe being old. The one we use, which I think is probably the most unreliable, is chronological. That is, you've got a date on your birth certificate which says how many years you've been around on this earth. That's how we measure it. I think more reliable, secondly, is biological. That is, there are some people who might be 70, and we both know, we'd all know them, who look 50, 55. Mm-hmm. They've still got their hair still dark, there are no wrinkles, they're still intellectually and physically vibrant. They've got a, genetically, they're just younger. Mm. And then you've got functional. That you often ask, how old do you feel? I read about a guy called Emil Rattelbrand, who's a Dutch journalist, who, 65, felt 45, and tried to get the date on his birth certificate changed legally so he'd be legally 45.
I identify as a 45-year-old.
So he lost the case. But the point being is, yes, I have grey hair, I have wrinkles, but I feel, and I think this is me, Dominic, I think I feel 50. Mm-hmm. I've got lots of energy, lots of passion, enthusiasm. I mean, I'm taking more pills than I used to, but my health is sound. So I think that's a more reliable way to measure how I should think about my future than looking at my birth certificate. We just look at the birth certificate and we see the magic number there, 65. Think, oh, great, now I can change my lifestyle. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are you retired?
If I had a dollar for every time I'm asked that question, I could retire and live somewhere very, very expensive. No, I'm not. I'm not retired. I work full time.
You're way over 65.
I turned 70 a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And I have no plans to retire. I hope that retirement is forced on me. Well, in the sense that I'll reach the stage where physically, emotionally, I can't do it anymore. The day will come when the phone stops ringing, the email stops coming. My dear wife says to me, honey, I'm sorry, I heard your last sermon.
And even I fell asleep,
it's all over. So that's going to happen, I think, I suspect. And I'll be wise enough to accept that. Mm. But I can't see any reason. I can see lots of reasons not to retire, but to keep on serving the Lord while he gives me the strength to do so. Mm-hmm. And not by, we talk about retirement, not by what the world says to us, which is you've earned the right to retire. You've earned the right at 60, 65, 70 to put your feet up and now just do what you enjoy doing. I just can't find that in the Bible. I don't think it's good for you. It's not good for the gospel or the world.
Well, some people try to find it in the Bible in Numbers 8.
They try, don't they? Yes,
I'll give you the verse and then you can... this applies to the Levites. Men 25 years or old or more shall come to take part in the work at the tent of meeting, but at the age of 50, they must retire from their regular service and work no longer. They may assist their brothers in performing their duties at the tent of meeting, but they themselves must not do the work. This then is how you are to assign the responsibilities of the Levites.
Well, there's a couple of musts there, isn't there? So yeah. What do we draw from that? Do we say, okay, now, young people, until you're 25, don't work. Once you're at 50, stop work, the Bible says. Well, that's clearly not the case. Being a Levite involved taking down the temple, putting it up again. It was hard, rigorous physical work. So God says to those over 50, stop that work, that particular kind of work. He goes on to say, it doesn't say have no more to do with the temple. You can still take part there. But the physical work of having to move that temple is no longer your responsibility. Mm-hmm. He's not saying then go back to your tribal clan and sit under your vine and fig tree and just enjoy the sunshine. Mm-hmm. They go back to their tribal clan and they'd work the field. They do what people did back then. They didn't retire. They kept working until they no longer could work. That's a command for the Levites for their particular work of taking up and down the tabernacle. It's not a perpetual guideline or even mandate for when you should start work or end work. It's a requirement for then those people at that particular time and that particular job.
Mm. So really, it's about physical restraints.
Physical restraints. And it's a good command. And the application is still today, you reach a point where physically, mentally, emotionally, you just can't keep doing what you're doing.
I just think yesterday in our staff meeting, we finished our staff meeting, we booked a council cleanup. One of the couches needed to be thrown out. And I said, well, can a couple of the strong young men?
Absolutely. We don't want you at your age doing your back end and ruining things. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Now, what about rest in the Bible? Because that's a big theme going through the scriptures, causing me to look forward to rest.
Yeah. And that's, of course, you read Hebrews, for example, our rest is in the age to come. That's our great hope as Christians. But even that, I don't think it means non-work. We are in Eden, we worked. I think we are working beings. And I imagine some way we'll work in the age to come in a way that work is delightful. I love my job.
Yeah, actually, you get that in Luke 19, that take charge of many cities.
Exactly, take charge of many cities. It's a parable, sure, but it's a picture of some kind of joyful labor in the age to come. But it'll be refreshing and delightful, that kind of thing. But that's the age to come. In that same parable in Luke 19, the master gives the servants minors. What was it? 10, 5, and 2. Then he says, and one version says, engage in business until I come.
Until I come. Not until I'm 65.
Until you're 60. Yeah. When I've come, then take charge of 10 cities until I come. And I say, I'm a bit cheeky here. Two men do that, and one man buried his mind on the ground. Mm-hmm. I think that man was probably he took retirement. I suspect.
I've read that parable and I've preached on that parable, but I've read it and thought about it from the point of somebody as a 40-year-old or as a 50-year-old and thought, I've got to apply that to myself. How do you, as somebody who's 70, preach and teach that parable to your peers?
Or the same way you apply it to yourself, I apply it to my peers. I spoke in a church in Brisbane some years ago on that parable. At the door, a man shook my hand. He said, he was 60-something. I've been retired for 24 years. I said, oh, really? What have you been doing? His words were, and I'll never forget this, just drifting. Just drifting for 20 years. And I thought to myself, my dear brother, one day it won't be me who asks you. It'll be,
what have you been doing?
Yeah, it'll be God. I gave you 20 years.
You had enough money.
Fairly good health.
Work at 40-something.
And what did you do with that minor? It's worrying, I think. It's worrying. To be in the fear of the Lord, I'm going to keep on working as best I can. Now, of course, depending on our health, things will change. We might cut back and all those kind of things. But if I've been given breath by the Lord, it's to serve his kingdom. So my question is, to be provocative, how did deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, become indulge yourself, put down your cross and put your feet up for 5, 10, 15, 20 years? I can't find that in the Bible. I think we have a responsibility to work as the Lord enables us, and, of course, to bless the world, glorify him, and, of course, bring delight to ourselves. Work should be incredibly satisfying. Mm-hmm. And work for the kingdom is that. So that's my concern, because
So you must look at a lot of your peers and say, what are you doing? You're wasting your life.
I get concerned for people, my contemporaries, I think. And the other thing, Dominic, is the world has changed. Mm-hmm. We're living like it's still 1950. Mm-hmm. And this is the first part of my book. People are living longer, much longer.
Mm. I mean, the percentages are 28% of Japanese people are over 65.
Yeah,
18%, I think, here in Australia.
That's right. And that'll, well, we that might.
It's likely,
I mean,
to
and
go
maybe
up.
Even longer still.
Yeah.
And they're healthier. All the stats show people are healthier and more productive and actually happier mm-hmm. at that age. So it's a great age to be. The harder years are the 40s. They're the stressful years. Mm. I say to the 40s, don't worry, 60s is around the corner. It'll all be much better by then. But that's the world we live in. We're having today an aging revolution across our world, and we are ignoring it. It's as big, I think, as the sexual revolution or the digital. It's the aging revolution. Where far, far less younger people, far more older people. That awful song by Whitney Houston about me, the greatest love is to love yourself. Mm. The first words are, I believe that children are our future. No, Whitney, they're not. Old people are our future. Old people. We're living longer. The stats are far more people who are aging. Far less people getting married later, having less kids, far less young people. And, of course, that means for governments, a massive problem with retirement. Mm. And they're going to pay a high price in a few years' time for having less people now who are earning income to support those, the vast number now who are who are using that income for retirement.
Mm. Now, I live and minister in a busy part of Sydney. And as I look at our church, all of them, the vast majority are super busy. And I realized as I was reflecting, I don't think I've ever preached against the sin of slothfulness.
Mm. I can't recall a sermon on the sin of slothfulness.
And yet I think you're saying the sin of slothfulness is a problem for our retired.
It may be. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to say, it's between the retiree and
no,
their
no,
God.
This is what you were saying.
I am concerned. Proverbs is mocking of the sluggard, mocking. And they're alongside the wicked.
Vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. 10:26. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. 19:24. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? 6:9. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. I looked and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. 24:30.
And I hear people say, oh, Mike, I'm very busy in my retirement. I play golf twice a week. We join the bridge club, tennis on Friday afternoons. We go to the movies once a week with our cheap tickets. And every month we take off on our camper van and That might be a bit of a straw man, a bit of a caricature. This is the busy life of the retiree. It sounds a lot to me like the life of the sluggard, a life of self-indulgence. That's not what we're called to. We're called to fight the good fight until the very end, to be involved in the work of the kingdom to the very end, and not listen to the world that you have this right at 65 to down tools. Listen to the word, which I think you endure to the end as best you can to serve and build the kingdom, using the gifts God's given you. And we've got to rethink this entirely, I think, because of the changing nature of our world. I was at a conference recently, and a lot of young pastors there, including your associate pastor, mm-hmm. and they're encouraged to go back to their church and tap on the shoulders of the young people in the church, uni students, young workers, who show gifts for ministry and say, think about Bible college. Think about ministry. Now, that's terrific. And we have a thing in Sydney, which I admire enormously, called Youth Works. I love Youth Works. I want now to stop tapping older folk in their 50s on the shoulder. And so you've got 20, 25 years left. Go to Bible college. Get involved in ministry. Let's start an Old Works, a place to equip people to reach the vast and growing numbers of old people in our society who are facing their mortality and reaching out to them. Yeah. My daughter, Lauren, is 28. She's about to go to Spain with CMS. She spent 2 years as a trainee with AFES, worked part-time as a youth worker for a church for a year. A bit of experience. She's going there, though, fairly. And she hasn't got, you know, she's fairly inexperienced, but with passion, zeal, she'd be terrific. Terrific. And she'll learn on the job. Mm-hmm. Someone who goes there at 58 with 30 years of experience in life, ministry, wisdom, skills. How much to offer? I mean, mission should be knocking on people's doors saying, come, you know, give us 10, 15 years. We're just going to start rethinking. You know, we've got this vast untapped resource of older people with all that comes with age. You haven't got quoted Proverbs that gray hair is a mark of splendor. It's gained by the way of righteousness. Again and again in the Bible, it's linked with wisdom. The older wise, and so we have this. Hopefully, this great resource of people who are wise, skilled, experienced. Back in 2004, Harvard Business Review had an article. We should retire retirement, said Harvard Business Review. There's all these companies with men and women in their 50s, lots of experience, skills, wisdom, being allowed to leave the company. And they say it just doesn't make sense economically to lose this resource of gifted people, encourage them to stay, at least stay part-time. Don't let them go because of this thing called retirement. If it's true for that, it's for the world of economics, it's true for the work of the church. Don't let them go. Hang on to them, train them, equip them, and send them out, you know, to do the work of the gospel, to use their gifts for the kingdom. Now, sure, take time to relax and take time. It's important to care for your grandkids. That's really important. It's important to grow the garden. They're good things to do. But if you've been given gifts by God, which you have, that are used for the kingdom and to build the kingdom and to build into people's lives for eternity.
So you've got an application there for the layman as well as for the pastoral worker.
Give us the
two different applications.
For the pastoral worker, this, in my view, this nonsense that comes 67, you step down as whatever, senior minister or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, in some cases, you should. I mean, I have a dear friend who's about to retire at 70. He's been a terrific pastor. He's worn down. Mm-hmm. And it's right for him to step back and honour his health. And he'll keep working for the kingdom, but not full-time the way he has. That's right and proper.
Mm-hmm. But goodness.
And
not with that same level of oversight.
Yes. I mean, Mike, have you retired yet? Oh, well, do you think I should? Have I given evidence that it's all over? Well, no, I still think. I got on this trail in part because I was filling in for a church. We were looking for a pastor. And for 2 months I filled in. Mm-hmm. And it went pretty well. I was preaching each Sunday. And over morning tea, a guy said to me, "Oh, Mike, you would make a good minister here." Then he had the qualification. "If you weren't so old." I should have said, "I'd make a good minister here, brother, because I am so old." Mm-hmm. I would bring to your church the things I can't bring, like maybe the passion of youth, maybe, but I think I'm still pretty passionate. I'd bring to your church, as you said before, 30, 40 years of experience in leadership, in preaching, to a degree of pastoral care. I think I have a fair bit to offer. But no, Mike, it's over you because you're now late 60s. What? No, so I want to say to pastors and to churches, if they're Dominic Steele, I still got what it takes. Don't let him go. I mean, if he has got what it takes, have that word to him, that loving word to him. Brother, it's all over, or step back, whatever it might be. But don't let them go when they have so much to offer. And to the layperson, I want to say, you have so much to offer. You're probably fairly independent financially. Mm-hmm. You're probably in pretty good health. And you've got quite a few years ahead of you. How are you going to invest them for the kingdom? I met a guy a while ago. He works. He's a retired London policeman, mid-50s. He'd gone to Afghanistan to teach English and talk about Jesus, having a terrific time. What a great life choice!
Yeah.
I mean, can you speak English? Oh, you can. Good. Can you talk about Jesus? Terrific. There are open doors there. And in cultures, Dominic, where my hair is just the right colour.
Mm. Just thinking about that line in 2 Thessalonians, where people had stopped work and were mooching.
Oh, getting off. Back to being idle. Yes. That's right. Mooching off the church.
And yeah.
I know. It's made me think. And he says, those who don't work shouldn't eat. In other words, while you can work and feed yourself, you should do it. But, so okay. we don't mooch off the church. I want to.
But what if I'm a self-funded retiree? I mean, I'm just pushing back on you. Yeah. What if I'm a self-funded retiree? Is it okay now for me to have a long holiday?
Yes, but not for 10 or 15 years.
Right, okay.
I'm happy. Yeah, take a break. I mean, I'm not against good times. I'm not against rest and refreshment and recreation. That's a gift from God as well to be enjoyed. I'm not against that.
So
what I'm against is seeing your future post-retirement as a future to do what you want to do and indulge yourself.
So let me be a Pharisee for a minute. You can. So you're critical of the guy who has just wasted 20 years slouching around. There'd be quite a few people watching who are thinking, I wouldn't mind that trip around Australia in a caravan when I get to 65. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. You know, we give people a long service leave. Take your year out. Take your sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
A year out. There are a group called the Christian Grey Nomads who do that and on the way stop in churches.
And help.
Mm-hmm. How much better to do your year around the country and see it as part of it as ministry? Mm. How much better and satisfying is that? But even if you don't, even if it's just to enjoy the delights of God's creation, take it for a year, come back refreshed, rejuvenated, and think, okay, now how do I spend the next 10, 15 years
serving Jesus? Yeah. Don Carson's dad, Tom Carson, wrote, "Keep me from the sins of old men." And he details some of these sins, a tendency to gravitate towards watching TV, a mm-hmm. temptation to look backwards instead of forwards, mm-hmm. sliding to self-pity, and easy resentment of young men.
Mm. Yes, I got some of those in one of my chapters. Actually, Ray Galea, if you know Ray, has got a list of the temptations of old men and includes those kind of things. And I think that may be right. Looking back on the good, I think maybe the good old days and that kind of thing. But my main concern is, you know, as Paul says, it's just to warn us about a life of idleness. If we can't mooch off the church, why is it okay to mooch off the government?
Mm-hmm. So I can see.
I'm thinking this through. Okay,
yeah.
I want to start a conversation today, Dominic, about this because it's now unquestioned. And the problem with the government is, once you give people something, you can't take it back. Macron tried in France.
Mm-hmm.
The president of France.
What did he do?
Well, retirement there was 62.
Yeah.
He tried to up it. There were demonstrations in the streets. You can't take it back.
Mm.
The government committed themselves now to retirement at 65, 67, and now they're facing an economic
catastrophe. Yeah.
And they can't take it back. So, therefore, as a citizen, what's my responsibility as a faithful citizen of this government? If I know I can still work and earn an income and pay taxes, do I have a moral obligation to do so? Apart from all the other stuff about, you know, building the kingdom, serving Christ. Yeah, but if I do retire, and then I want to use that time for kingdom work.
And then I think, what are you brainstorming that the layman should be doing in terms of using the person who's spent their life in the office, spent their life as an engineer? You're saying do some theological study.
Absolutely, just do some study. Look, there are churches, for example, in our rural areas crying out for pastors, and they can't get them. I had a friend from a church in Sydney. He was a bank manager. He retired. He went to Bible college. I taught him. He then went out to a country church and served there as a pastor for a few years,
mm-hmm.
a skilled leader, able to teach. Or just, that might not be your gift, teaching and preaching and leading, but there'll be other gifts. But you go to Bible college, even just for a year, to be equipped to go back to your church and say to your pastor, how can I serve more effectively? I want to reach out to older people. What can we do to make this our target group? Mm-hmm. You know, here are these vast number of people facing death. What can we do to reach them, the great unreached of our community?
Mm. I can see you've both got energy and you've got a job that you've done that you've loved. And so there's a... Is it just convenient for you to argue this? What if I'm in a position where I haven't loved my job and I don't want to go, I just can't wait to get out of this drudgery, you know, and the difficulties of my job? Yeah.
Yeah. Look, to a point, yes. I mean, I do kind of dread the day when, which will come, when I can't do this anymore. And that's, I'm not alone in that. Many people, you know, it's been said that no one ever died regretting they spent the day at work. Well, some will regret having done more work, because they do find delight in their work. And if your work in the workplace is unsatisfying and there is drudgery there, that might be a great moment to leave that and do work now which has eternal implications to building other people's lives.
Mm.
Some years ago, my son Joel bought me tickets to a Rod Laver Arena to watch my favorite rock stars. I went along to watch Paul Simon, who then was 74, and Fleetwood Mac. Mick Fleetwood was 72.
I went to see Paul McCartney the other night.
A sprightly 81.
Yeah.
I must say, Dominic, I found them inspiring. Mm-hmm. I think Paul, he sang for 2.5 hours.
It was amazing, yeah.
And these guys sang for 2.5 hours. They loved it. They sounded terrific.
And he wasn't doing it for the money.
Absolutely not. For the joy of the songs he sings and the joy they bring us. And Fleetwood Mac have a song, Don't Stop, and they haven't. Well, one of them's dead. she stopped. But they haven't. I mean, I think they're retired now. But they rebuke me. I mean, Paul Simon has a song about taking people to Graceland. That's what I want to do, Dominic. That's what you want to do. I want to take people to the Graceland. Near the age to come. And I figure if these guys who are singing, in Paul's words, silly love songs, can do that into their 80s, why can't I, with the gifts God's given me, that it might be just a public conversation, it might be an encouragement, it might be an administration, whatever the gift might be, why can't I sing the eternal song into my 80s as long as the Lord gives me strength, and not stop singing it because I've got this kind of mythical level called 65 in retirement.
Mm. It's really having the same gospel that drove you to go and serve as a missionary in Pakistan as a young man, driving you in retirement to make the same kind of in principle decisions.
Yes. You mentioned about Numbers and the retirement of the priests. I'm preaching this coming Sunday on Philemon.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul describes up there as an old man.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't seen that before, actually. An old man who's probably writing from prison, will be set free from prison, most scholars assume, and probably fulfill his dream as an old man to go to Spain.
Yeah.
And then to come back and presumably be arrested and face execution. But Paul didn't see being an old man as a reason to down tools. Now, sure, he was the apostle, but he's a disciple of Jesus and took with him other disciples to Spain.
Mm.
Yeah, and maybe I should join my daughter in my 70s and go to Spain like the apostle. But that's the picture I think we're given. I've taken the example of Paul, and as long as God gives us breath till he calls us home, building the kingdom.
Mm.
And we've just... I think stop listening to the word and taking on board the words of the world. And we need to start rethinking that and having a conversation with ourselves, with our old people, to motivate this vast resource of people that God's given us. So that on the last day, we're not found idle sluggards, but are found faithful and are commended by God, well done, faithful to the end.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
my guest on The Pastor's Heart, Mike Rater. And look, let me encourage you to take this episode of The Pastor's Heart and circulate it amongst the people over 65 and approaching 65 within your church. You've been watching The Pastor's Heart, Mike Rater. He is a former Bible College lecturer and principal, and now he spends his time training young preachers and preaching all over the place across Australia. You've been with us on The Pastor's Heart. See you next Tuesday afternoon.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.